Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. Tonight, I want to say we are live on the air with LA Talk Radio, Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications, and I have a very special guest tonight. I'm going to say this, Dr. Pat Allen, you're live on the air. Robert Storr, welcome to the show.
No, thank you so much, Kelly, and good to hear from you, and good evening, Dr. Allen.
Hello, Robert. It's nice to have you.
Always my pleasure.
Good. How long have we known each other?
I think it's just been a quick 30 years, as far as I recall.
And you were under my supervision for your license.
Yes,
right?
what I call a God move is I found you. I think around 1986, to be exact, when I was finishing my master's and looking for a place to do my internship, and I was fortunate enough to go to work with you for several years, I think about six
Very
or eight
much.
Of them. Yeah.
You even managed the one institute there for a while. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I remember the institute was shrinking a little bit and got in there and used some of my business acuity and was able to help out.
So how did you end up the director of the Los Angeles, what do they call it?
Well, I ended up first as the director of the Los Angeles Suicide Prevention Center, and currently I'm one of 11 executive directors across the country at the largest nonprofit for homeless veterans called US Vets.
And how did you switch from being a family therapist, basically, to being a suicide specialist?
Yes, yeah, no, thank you. Really good question. So in 2011, my former partner of 15 years, left the relationship abruptly and shortly after took his life, died by suicide. And being a marriage family child therapist for as long as I was taken totally off guard, did not understand, had never received adequate training. So about 2 years after his death, when I was working on my own post-pension, my own grief recovery, which is complicated when you have a traumatic death in your life, it's different than normal grief, I decided to change the direction of my life completely and find out everything I could about suicide prevention and how to work in the field. So I left my job at a hospital at the time and became the clinical director for the largest suicide prevention center here in the United States. And then shortly after, I became the director. So I worked with attempt survivors, loss survivors. I trained FBI, SWAT, police, parents, children, teenagers, anybody who would listen to me, some of the tenets of suicide prevention.
That's how you got here.
That's how I got here. And then shortly after that, I noticed there was a large percentage of the suicides, which are around 47,000 in the United States every year, about 13 to 15% were veterans. So I shifted careers again and went to work in the veteran community and work locally within Los Angeles, Orange County, with clinical teams to work in that area as well. And I'm working with the state of California to procure more funds for mental health for veterans.
So what is going on in this wild, horrible time that we're in? Are suicides really going up?
Actually, they dipped a little bit at first, because what the pandemic did was it forced us inside. For those of us who have family systems, we got more connected. For those that didn't have family systems, they became more isolated. And as you know, we only need the five things you've always shared with me to survive: food, air, water, shelter, and strokes. We need to be heard and known by other people And so people's mental health has really deteriorated during the pandemic. And in terms of suicide prevention, simultaneously, the crisis intervention is now entering a new state in that they just, this last July, changed the suicide prevention number to a three-digit number, which is now 988. So you don't have to dial the old number, which was 273-8255. You just have to dial 988. They wanted something that people could remember easily and that they could be connected. There's over 200 crisis centers in the United States, would have been in an operation since 2005. For anybody in crisis, or if you're concerned about someone in crisis, you can dial that number. Oftentimes people think, oh, it's only for suicidal people. No, if you had a loved one you weren't sure what to do or was experiencing mental health issues that you think may lead to a suicide, that would be the number to call, 988. There's trained counselors 24/7. Here in LA, it's Spanish and English, and they're, I think they've developed in over 150 languages, and now it is available for all communities.
That's wonderful. What is the most important message you believe our audience here needs?
Well, thank you. The latest trend in suicide prevention, which I believe significantly, which may have saved a life. First of all, we can't, if you are a suicide loss survivor, we can't be guilty of not being able to save a life because we can't, but we can work in the prevention area. The most important message we tell people, because I volunteer and work with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, is to begin to talk about this, to begin to have the conversation. The public health approach now for suicide prevention is we have got to be comfortable talking about suicide like we talk about diabetes and heart disease, because if people knew, which we're now finding research, that there's a medical most likely condition or predisposition to those poor people who have lost their lives, who are suffering with suicidal thoughts, and that there's treatment available, we can get help and potentially save lives. But the people that are suffering from the stigma of it and are afraid to talk about it and aren't aware that there is treatment available and support. So those of us who have this information, if you're listening today, you got to begin to open up the conversation. Talking about the new crisis line is a great way. Asking people if they've ever thought about it. Being the first one to know if you've got a friend in trouble that looks like they're going through a crisis and they're shutting down, or they're having a major bout with depression or anxiety or difficulty controlling emotions. We have to be the ones to say, are you feeling suicidal? Have you thought about suicide? And then we have to be the ones that connect with them to the treatment available by using the 988 number in the United States here.
That's really great. How can you tell if somebody is just joking around, you know, oh God, I wish I was dead type thing? Do you have to sort it out? Do you need to know?
Yeah, I think thank you for that question, because Dr. Allen, because one of the most significant things is we know people who suffer from suicidal thoughts usually do try to tell us. So if somebody should mention, we always take that serious. And the quickest way to find out if somebody was just blowing off the steam or they're serious, say, you know, is to introduce the topic. Suicide's a major epidemic. It's second leading cause for children 18 and young adults to 24. It's the 12th leading cause for adults. We have to be able to say, I know you just joked about that, but have you been feeling about it or have you thought about it? Many people who've thought about it, it's just a thought. It's associated with major depression, and they may say, yes, I've had thoughts and nothing needs to be done. Other people may say, I've thought about it, and then we need to talk to them about it. How serious? Are you afraid that you can't stay safe, or have you thought of how you might want to die by suicide? And if people are connected, about 98% of times on the crisis lines across the country, they can be de-escalated from a crisis and connected to treatment. So you don't have to do the work of a therapist. But you do have to be the one, if you ever hear that, you have to be the one that says, I'm aware that you just joked about that, but I want to make sure you know I'm comfortable talking about it. And I want to make sure you know that I can find you help. I'm one of the few people can talk about it. People are afraid their rights are going to be taken away or they're going to be taken to a hospital and locked up. That's not true. Today, there's crisis centers developing all across our country where they can be treated, de-escalated, and sent home in many cases. So we have to be the ones, if you heard this message tonight, to talk to your loved ones about it, to make sure they know you're a safe person, and make sure you can use that 988 number to find out about how to get them support and help.
When a person is talking with somebody who's suicidal and they're saying something, what sign is there for you to call the paramedics or the police or somebody?
Yeah, no, thank you. That's also a very, very important question for therapists and us, because again, if someone just has thoughts, that's a relatively low risk. If they have thoughts and it's been progressed to the point that they've thought of how they would do it, then that's a sort of a moderate risk. If they have thoughts and they know how they would do it.
If you catch them in the bathroom,
right, exactly,
when they're doing something.
Yes, yeah. That would be the time to dial either 988, because the crisis center could often de-escalate them without calling the paramedics. Or if they needed to call the paramedics, they could initiate a rescue with them. But you stay with them. If someone's in what you just sort of pointed out, and thank you for doing that, Dr. Allen, if someone's in imminent danger, they tell you, you caught them with pills, or they told you, I'm scared,
yes,
I can't maintain my safety. That's when you know it's not just a conversation, but it's called get them into a hospital or a crisis center so that they can deal with a professional who will take care of them. And that's always the best thing, even if you're not quite sure, is dial that 988, and you'll be connected to a suicide crisis line in your area, because they geolocate those. So they'll have the resources available to you. Now, the calls have increased dramatically since they've changed that number, so you might have to be patient, but stay with that person unless you are in danger. If you are in danger, then you don't, of course, stay with someone, because there are people who are homicidal as well as suicidal. So in that case, you have to be careful that you don't expose yourself to that risk.
So how hard, I know this sounds not too whatever, how hard was it to get over this?
Well, you know, again, and I appreciate the answer, and I don't mind being totally transparent, because it took me, I've been a therapist for 30 years. Thank you again to you and your amazing and brilliant, and I have to tell you, theories that I've used over and over with clients, and I had never experienced depression. What we know today, and it's a brand new diagnosis in our diagnostic manual, that people who experience a loss, a death due to a traumatic event, such as a suicide, when you lose someone to suicide, the grief cycle is much more significant. I went into a pretty deep depression. I spent a good 2 years just going to work and doing nothing else, because I didn't feel like I had the energy. I went into treatment with a therapist. I took antidepressants and I still struggled. And it probably wasn't until the fourth or fifth year that it really lightened up. It didn't mean that I wasn't functional. I worked the entire time. I had, you know, connection to some people, but for the most part, it was a pretty quiet period of my life, and it took a tremendous amount of energy. And if you are one of those people, 40 to 60% of us will have lost someone to suicide. And if you are one of those people, then there is help through AFSP.org. That's American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There are free groups throughout the country. There's a chapter in every state that can connect you to resources, often for free, if you are suffering from that loss. And because there's 470,000 suicides, if you figure five person per suicide, there's millions of people that are suffering from that. Some will weather it pretty well. I'm pretty grounded, healthy individual, and some of us will be caught off guard because, again, our psychic neurological system or biochemistry makes us more prone to the impact, and it makes it more difficult. I'm happy to say 11 years later, I am feeling very recovered, but there are days I can still feel that heaviness or get in touch with that sadness. But for the majority of time, I channel that energy into doing the work, and I don't feel it near as significantly, nor does it intrude in my life in most cases.
Are you available to anybody? You're in Los Angeles, but
Yes. Yeah, no, almost anybody in California who would be wanting to do a virtual session or wanting support could get a hold of me through 562-810-1040. That's 562-810-1040. Just leave a message that you heard about me on the Dr. Pat Allen Show, and I'd be more than happy to consult with you and see if there's some support you need or connect you to resources or, you know, enter into a therapeutic alliance with you to provide you support, should that be something we both agree is a good idea.
I want to thank you for coming on the show again. I've invited you at least once a month, and you've done it again. You're just very good at educating an extremely sensitive subject. So thank you so much on behalf of everybody that's getting something from it. Okay?
Well, yes. Well, you're welcome, first and foremost, and thank you for continuing to put the word out about a very important issue that's very relevant and can save lives. So thank you, Dr. Pat Allen, Kelly, and the crew there at your show. You guys do a remarkable public service in keeping that approach to suicide prevention going, and it has been my pleasure to chat with you once again this evening.
Good.
Hey, Robert, I have a question. I have a question for you, Robert.
Sure.
Do you happen to do outreach to community services that you would be able to tell them? Like, for instance, we have a program here called DHR. They're just starting up in Grace Harbor, Washington. And they're working with a lot of homeless veterans as well. You ever reach out to people like that and just do like a Zoom thing and tell them, like, look for these things, or here's the resources and here's how you would go about doing this?
Yes. Yeah. No, if there are, we have specific programs. We're not actually located in the state of Washington. We're in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. First and foremost, if they needed resources specifically to suicide prevention, they could check the AFSP.org website. If they needed specific resources to veterans, they can check with U.S. Vets. Several of our programs, especially for women veterans, are available no matter where you are. We don't have direct in-person services, but we take calls throughout the country. So if they wanted to look at U.S. Vets in Los Angeles in Bob Hope Patriotic Hall or usvets.org, and that's USVETS, we'd be happy to see if there are resources. We can point them to the area. The VA also in those particular areas is a great area to connect with the resources as well at some of the community service centers that are available.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, they're listening tonight, and I had no idea that you're going to be on. So this is really exciting because I have three of the new people that are starting this program are listening tonight on live on the air. So it's like very fortuitous event that you are here. I think I'm going to call it a God shot. So beautiful.
I agree.
Thank you, Robert. I want to tell you, honestly, when I lost someone, two people actually to suicide very recently, you were on my show, on our show. And I had the one burning question that I always couldn't get around, which was, how come I didn't know? And you explained it to me in a way that I was actually able to accept it and move forward. So you're amazing. I adore you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. No, we can never take responsibility, unfortunately, unless we ask directly. They don't speak in a language that we've understood before. But now people are a little more cued in because of the two of you. So you're very welcome. Wishing you a great evening. Godspeed in your incredible service to the community. And for those of you, I'm sure, that are listening, you're aware Dr. Pat Allen is a genius, and I have used her theoretical approach for 30 years with tons and tons of clients. So good luck to both of you, and thanks for spreading the word.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Robert Storr, everyone. Robert is an amazing human being. If you need help, please reach out. We're really excited to hear that 988 is the new number to call very quickly to get in touch with prevention services for suicide. Easy to remember, like 911. Let's spread it, everybody who hears this tonight. We hope you'll spread it on social media so people know 988 for suicide prevention. Dr. Pat Allen, amazing. It's such a blessing that you have Robert in our lives. And I think we can go to calls. I'm going to tell everyone 323-203-0815. All right. There we have one. Hello, beautiful caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
There
you
are.
Well, it's always nice to call at the beginning of the show. I'm doing well. I have been reading, what's the name of the book that you suggested? Why Him and Why Her? And it talks a lot about the personality types. I haven't heard you talk too much about that. I'm still waiting to get to the part about not, you know, dating somebody like your opposite sex parent, or I guess it could be same sex, but not too much. Did you buy into those kind of personality type differences too, matching up, that they talk about in that book?
Yes, of course. Chemistry comes in strange packages. So when somebody's attractive to you, that person may have chemistry that triggers your body to chemically, if you're a woman especially, produce oxytocin, which bonds you, literally glues you to them.
Yeah. So, I've certainly had that.
And if you're a man, you probably won't bond until you're in your 50s. Because men have a tendency to pick women with their eyes for sexual beauty. And women women tend to pick men or let men pick them with their ears. And you're reading Helen Fisher's book, Why Him, Why Her, right?
Yes. She's going over the different personality types, and
heard you talk about Myers-Briggs, the Myers-Briggs test. Sure. David Kiersey and Marilyn Bates wrote a book when I was in school with them at Cal State Fullerton for my master's, and it was called Please Understand Me. And then she died, and he wrote a second book of the type called Please Understand Me, number two. And that one went more into showing how people match up with each other. But Please Understand Me, the number one book, is still used by businesses to get to the temperament of human beings. Have you ever taken the Myers-Briggs?
No, I've had a little exposure to it, but no, I haven't taken one of those official long tests, and I know that book has one. I think your book has one too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes for men.
No, I mean, it has a test in it, doesn't it? Isn't there a questionnaire in there?
Yes, the whole test is there. But the difference in the test there and the test in Please Understand Me, number two by David Kiersey, is that one goes into personalities and temperaments that collide and don't. So it's used by businesses.
Yeah. I'm here. No. I see the book that you're talking about. That sounds like a good one to know. So I had a couple of situations. My number one, she is definitely interested in getting. Oh, she's still around, but she's very busy, and I do wonder about availability. I may see her this weekend, but it's really up to how much studying she gets done. She does want to get out. She does want to go out again, but she definitely has a lot of re-credentialing things to do in her work. So there's that. And then she's got some other things going on too. So sometimes when I hear those all listed up together, I'm like, oh, geez, you know,
I recommend that you have at least three people that you're dating in order to give yourself differentiation.
Oh, that's definitely my goal. I can't say I have two others that I'm that excited about, but I went to the library and picked up that book that you recommended about narcissism, and the woman who was checking me out, even with the mask on, was very attractive. So I sort of ended up flirting with her, but it wasn't a good opportunity to do more because there were other people around.
Good,
I'm like, oh, I'm
good,
getting a
good,
book on
good.
Narcissism. And she's checking it out, but she works at that library, so I know that I can see her
good.
Again in another place.
Did you
and then another woman.
Did you happen
yeah, go ahead,
to
go
notice
ahead.
The second half of the title? Narcissism, Betrayal of the Body.
Here it says, I have the book here, Narcissism, Denial of the True Self.
Okay, well, they must have changed it between, because my copy says Narcissism by Alexander Lowen. Betrayal of the Body. I like that one because that takes into account what women need. Women need to be very safe and feel good chemically with men that they are dating.
And I didn't think approaching her like that, since there were a bunch of people around, was necessarily the best environment. But I know that I can catch her again. And I think my number one is comfortable with some of the chemical stuff.
Excellent.
But we'll see. There's still a ways to go. And then I was washing my car, and there was a very attractive woman next to me. And she came up to me and said something like, you always need like a man around, because I think something broke at the car washing place. It was very easy to fix.
So I did flirting.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So I did follow that up with saying, oh, well, since you don't have a man around, does that mean you're single? And she said she wasn't, but I still flirted after that. I still made it clear that I thought that she was very attractive, and she definitely appreciated that. So, you know, it helps build up your skills meeting people out there in the world, because for guys, it is difficult to, especially to just run into somebody and get something started. That's something I definitely didn't do in my younger days, and I know a lot, and I still struggle with it, and there's some guys who, you know, don't do it at all. So your stuff has definitely helped me put my stuff out there more, along with the language to do it. And then I also heard this other thing online that came up with a few kind of good icebreakers to get into talking to people when you're out there in the world. I really liked a couple of new ideas that I found that way. So I didn't quite use it with her, but something close.
Do you want to share it?
Okay. So the essence is, and this is so true for me, is I think the thing online. It was something like, hey, I would be regretting it all day if I didn't go up, that you look amazing, spectacular, or whatever, that I would regret it all day if I didn't go up and make an attempt to get to know you. And
good,
I realized
good,
that
good,
is my
good.
Experience enough. I forget exactly how they said it, but a version of that is very true for me. And I wish I had knew that a couple of weeks ago, because I had a perfect opportunity for that. But that's really one that you could use in a lot of different situations.
What's the other one?
The other one was something like I didn't like this one as much, although it's shorter. I don't think we've met yet. Hi, my name is, Brian or whatever. I was like, that's okay, but it's not as good. The other one kind of makes it clear that you have, that you're definitely attracted to that person and that you want to get to know them. And that's certainly the essence of me. So, yeah, there are a few other good ideas out there besides yours. But, yeah, I definitely use your stuff.
Helen Fisher's is one of them. Why him? Why her?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very good. I guess it's only from about 10 years ago, and I guess she was big on a number of dating sites. So
she was the physicist, not physicist, but she was the medical representative for a dating service.
Yeah, a couple of the big ones. So I think putting together some of those questionnaires that I don't do that stuff anymore for dating sites, but it is interesting to hear how she, put that together and how it works out there, and also how it matches up to, how like testosterone and dopamine can go together. And, I know you talk a lot about, the hormones, but she was also talking about how they, how really some of them work in tandem like that to, bring out different personality types.
Totally.
Yeah, that was very valuable.
So, do you have something else you want from us?
I guess that's the big stuff for today. So I may have a date with her this weekend. We'll probably figure that out tomorrow. Right. And I definitely have some restaurants figured out. We did have a nice chat on the phone. But the question is availability. But I definitely have my eyes open. It's, I've not circled the wagons around her. It's way too early for that.
Excellent. You're flirting.
Yes. Five minutes?
Is important because in the mammalian world, you've got to signal the people that you're interested by looking them in the eyes and smile. And if you want to be the man in charge, then you speak first. If you want to be a woman, because men have a right to be women too, they're soul is feminine. If people want to be cherished, they would do well to look in the eyes and smile, but not speak first, because speaking is respectable and it puts you in a position of being responsible for the dating.
Do you want
to be respected?
That's okay. definitely my goal.
Good. So please, and for those of you that are listening, read my book, Getting to I Do. And I have one, Staying Married and Loving It, but I don't say it very much, but I have that and a few others. Okay?
Yes, definitely. I know I've got a couple of them on the shelf.
You're becoming a regular, sir, and I appreciate it.
And I I appreciate you, you know, doing this and, you know, helping out me and so many others.
Good.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye for now.
Talk to you next week. Bye. All right.
Goodbye.
Always fun to hear from Brian. Great guy. Okay, I want to remind everybody, 323-203-0815 is the number to dial to get in the hot seat. Talk to Dr. Allen. Get your questions answered. She's got a billion of those answers for you. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi. What can I do for you?
I'm wondering, it feels like a silly question, but I...
No. Wait. Why don't you like you?
I'm working on it.
Who taught you not to like you?
My family.
Do they want a boy or a girl?
They didn't want any kids, I think.
How many kids are in the family?
Six, but my mom raised eight. She took in two of my cousins.
What about your cousin?
My mom took in raised two of my cousins, so there was eight of us all together.
Wow. And where did you rank in that group? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, what?
I was the second, but the first female. So, like, I was the mom of everybody.
Oh, so you were basically the family slave.
Exactly.
All right. So, for what reason did you talk about yourself with me as if you were a bad slave?
I don't have a good answer.
Would you be willing to not do that?
Yes, I want to value myself more and feel valuable. And that's what I'm actually calling about, is because I notice like if I don't feel needed by people, you know, I don't feel valued, then I don't feel good.
I appreciate that. But when you don't appreciate you, other people follow suit.
Yeah, I feel that. And right now, I'm.
What?
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Do you know what norepinephrine is?
Yes, it's the pain associated with pain.
It's no fun, nor, that's yes. No, epinephrine. In England, it's called noradrenaline. You were raised to be a boy.
Yes, And that's why I'm calling you, is because I question something I just put out there in the world.
I know that, dear, but I caught you and I want to give you some information. Have you heard me talk about Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard?
Yes, I read the book.
Did you get it that your father is the important parent and his reflection of you is that you needed to be more of a masculine mother, doing good by everybody else except you?
Yes, I totally, entirely get that from the work I've done with you and what I've learned from you.
Well, that's right, because I'm a transactional analyst, which means beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Be aware of your words, they become habits. We call them scripting, like a script for a movie. beware of your habits, your script. It becomes your character. You were born to be a woman, but you were raised to be a man as a mother. People don't realize it, but mothers are masculine when a child is little, and that's good. But a mother is not good when she's in her 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And I spotted you as a habitual pain addict who uses words to remind you that your daddy wanted a boy to mother the family, and he got you. Are there any other girls in your family?
Yeah, I have two sisters.
Are they masculine too, like you, or are you their mama too?
They're very masculine.
They're older than you are?
They're younger than me, and they are caretakers for everyone and everything, and yes, they sacrifice themselves for everyone else.
Oh, my, my, my. The book is called Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, and it's about father's effect on the daughter. Now, there are mothers that want girls but not boys. And that book is Puer-Eternus, P-U-E-R, capital A-E-T-E-R-N-U-S, by Maria von Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. And that's the one that says, oh, honey, you don't have to do that. I'll do that for you.
That's how my sisters are with my kids, their kids. My sisters are that way with their sons.
So do you understand that I teach people how to beware of their words so that they can love themselves the way nature and God have built them? Women feel good to do good. What?
Right. And I question, like, I'm very aware, thanks to you, of these things. And sometimes when I do something, I question, like, okay, is that coming from my, you know,
script.
I want to be so,
script.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and I don't want to do good to feel good, but I question.
That's a mother and that's a man.
Yeah, so is it okay with you if I tell you what I just am questioning? If it's
yes,
a do good,
I want you to
good?
Do that. Thank you for asking, but yes.
Okay, so I baked a bunch of cupcakes and I ate 7 of them. They're pretty healthy versions of, they don't have sugar, they're vegan and stuff.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah. So, but I don't have anybody to cook for and I miss cooking for people and I wanted to, you know, I don't want to continue eating all the ones that I made. So I put it out there to, you know, the in a couple communities I know, like, I made all these cupcakes. I don't want to eat them all. I don't want to throw them away. Does
Who did you give them to?
Nobody wants, nobody's, I said, if you want to come pick them up, you can have them, but nobody replied. So I'm feeling insecure about that. Like, I'm wondering if that was a do good to feel good thing or if that's, I'm wondering if doing that is a masculine thing or because I genuinely love cooking. I don't want to eat a bunch of cupcakes that I made.
Do you have a old people's home nearby?
Where I happen to be staying is a really wealthy city and I don't want to drive. So that's why
I got
I said,
it. You've got reasons. I understand
yeah.
that.
So that's why I put it out there. Do you want, if you want them, you can come pick them up.
You're telling me to come and get them?
No. No, I put it out there on social media. If you want these, you can come pick them up because I don't want to drive, but I don't want to eat them either. Yeah, that's my question for you. Is doing something like that a do-good to feel-good thing?
No, but I know that there are people that go to places like old people's homes or orphanages and leave them off as tokens.
But you're
saying you don't want to drive.
Right.
That's taking care of yourself.
That's what I think. That's how I feel, is like I genuinely want these to go to like a family or somebody who, because they're pretty healthy, but still I don't want to eat 18 more of them by myself.
But not wanting to drive could very easily be you loving you.
Right.
Do you set your Lyman at night?
Thanks to you. Yes, I write out the next day productive things and pleasurable things. Yes.
So you and does that help you love yourself?
Yes, it's pleasurable for me to cook, but I can't eat all the food that I cook. That's one of the, like, I love practicing new recipes, which I did.
Are you working?
I'm pet sitting at like a small farm where I'm at. So I don't want to leave the animals alone because there's so many of them.
Okay, but are you employed? How old are you?
Yes, I'm in my 40s.
Okay, and you do work or you don't work?
I stay at people's houses and I watch their animals. And then while that's kind of work, but I also have all the free time to cook and do other things while I'm at their home.
So would you take a job of cooking?
Yes, I've been trying to do that, but I can't. Most people don't eat the way I eat. They don't eat vegan. They don't eat, you know, they eat sugar. They eat flour. I got it.
But I like your attitude, and it would be nice if you could take your goodies close by for people to enjoy it.
But I like the
attitude you have.
Thank you. Yeah, I did call a food bank place and they said the closest one was in Oakland, and I don't want to drive there with the cost of gas.
I know, I got that. Well, all I can say is you can watch your words. You don't have to say words that negate you.
Okay.
Just words.
Okay.
All right.
My words. All right, Dr. Pat, thank you very much.
Good.
Thank you, caller.
Caller?
Why don't you try a local like fire department or something like that? I used to bring my local fire department donuts every week.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I'm going to call them right now. There might be a cute guy there too. Thank you.
You gotta have a local police or fire department, so go for it.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm gonna look that up right now.
Good.
All right, have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yay. 323-203-0815 is the number to call. And maybe we'll have a word or two of inspiration for you. Dr. Pat is always inspiring me. Also, don't forget One Eye Stores, where you can find Dr. Allen's books that we were talking about earlier, like her latest, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
What is it?
Awesome.
Hi. So last week, you advised that I write a hi bye letter to an ex-boyfriend, but instead of doing that, I kind of got angry and I accused him of cheating. Do you think I should still write him a hi bye letter?
Were you going to write a hi bye letter?
Yeah, but I don't know if I should do it yet. Because should I wait the eight weeks?
I wanted you to write it so that I could listen to it and we could get the spirit of it.
Okay, I see. But I should wait the 8 weeks before I send it, right?
You can do that, but I recommend that when you're in pain, that you do a hi-bye letter, and I'll tell how to do it for people that don't hear me do it as often as I do it. It's for when somebody leaves you or you leave somebody and you and you are upset because you made a mistake. So it's for a painful experience, and I'll give you the structure of it.
Okay.
The first sentence is, I'm writing you this letter to share my thoughts and feelings about our relationship. Is it a man you're writing to or a woman?
A man.
Okay. Was he a husband or a boyfriend?
A boyfriend.
And why are you writing him a hi-bye letter?
Because I left him, but then he left me.
He loved you.
He left me. I left him.
Oh,
yeah.
I was mishearing the word. He left you. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I know what it was. I'm writing this for my thoughts and feelings. When you left, the first paragraph is, I really liked these things about you when we met and dated.
Okay.
The second paragraph is, it's really painful not having you in my life.
Okay.
The third paragraph is, I really don't want to be alone. And so I'm writing you this letter to see if perhaps you didn't mean to get rid of me. And we could date again. Have you dated him at all?
No, not since he left me.
I know, but have you dated him? Did he want to date you?
In the past, yeah.
Okay, so we're writing the letter so we can tell him, I really don't want to be alone. And I'm writing this letter to signal that I'm still available if you want to make another effort.
Okay.
And then there's the fifth paragraph, which is thank you for reading this letter, which hopefully you're going to read to me next week.
Okay.
And then the benefit of that is, having somebody that does this for a living tell you if you're getting the message across or doing dirt. So what did you want to ask?
I have a feeling that he's cheating on me, or there's somebody else. And so I accused him of it last week, and then I haven't heard back from him. He just ghosted me.
So you did give him a hi-bye letter last week?
No, I didn't give him the hi-bye letter. I just accused him of cheating. Because I just have a feeling that there's something he's not telling me.
So did you go see him?
No, I haven't seen him.
Okay, so you haven't done anything?
No, just accused him of cheating, and then he hasn't responded.
But are you interested in giving him an opportunity to come back?
Yes.
Well, then let's take advantage of it, and then you decide if you want to give it to him.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Other guy that? Yes.
What?
Can I ask one more question? Another
question.
There's another guy that I'm dating, and he's really cheap, and I've told him not to message me unless he's going to send me a check to help me out, and he continues to message me, and it makes me mad because he's so cheap, and he doesn't help me financially at all.
This other man is giving you money?
I wish he would give me money. He's not giving me money, and I asked him for help financially. And he keeps saying no, and I got really mad, and I told him not to message me unless he helped me out financially.
Did you ask for the money?
Yes.
Because
I don't have money right now, and I need help, and so I asked him, and he said no.
Who was he to you? Is he a brother? A dad?
No, a guy I was dating.
He's a what?
A guy I was dating.
Oh, a guy you're dating, and you asked for some money for help.
Yes. And he said
no. And he said
no. Yes, he's really cheap.
Well, he has a right to say no.
Okay. But even if I need money, like just a small amount, he says no.
Wait, what did you say?
Even if it's just a small amount of money, because I need financial help right now, and he still says no, I think that's really cheap.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to give you any money.
Yeah. But, I mean, that doesn't make me feel good about dating him in the future.
Is he still dating you, even though he doesn't give you the money?
Yeah, he keeps on messaging me. I haven't seen him, but he keeps messaging me, and he wants to come see me. But I don't feel good about him not giving me money.
Well, you're not a fiancé. You're not a wife.
Oh. I have to be a fiancé or a wife to get money?
Well, men are not... Men think women, all they want is money, and women think that men, only thing they want is sex, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Have you said no to men who asked you for sex?
Yes.
That's what he's doing to you about money.
Well, he did
Does
say
he have
that.
A right to do that?
Yeah.
I know you don't like it that he's not giving you the money you're asking for, but he has a right to do that. Are you going to keep on dating him?
I don't know. I've rejected him for it, but then he came back, and I kind of continued
well,
to talk to
him. That means he likes you even if he doesn't give you money.
It kind of turns me off that he doesn't even just give me a small amount.
Well, he has the right to say no with his money. Are you giving him sex?
No.
And he's asking for it?
He's asked for it, but I said no, and he said that's okay.
All right. And you said no because you're not in love with him at this time.
Yeah.
And he's not in the mood to set up a house for you at this time.
Mm-hmm. He does say he does say that he wants to move here for me because he lives in Phoenix and I live in San Diego. So he was considering moving here for me. So he wanted to save money.
What would he get engaged and live with you?
I don't know.
Well, please don't live with him unless you're monogamous, continuous, and at least engaged.
Yeah, no, I said that. I don't live with men. I follow your guidance.
Okay, because that's really too heavy a commitment mixing money and sex without a monogamous, continuous relationship structure.
Right. I just worry that if we're together in the future, he's going to be really cheap.
That he what?
If we're together in the future, that he's going to be really cheap and I'll have to like fend for myself.
Well, in my book, I talk about you've got to negotiate money, space, time, and sexuality. Mm-hmm. So is he somebody you're interested in marrying?
Yeah, but he's so cheap.
Or are you just wanting to borrow money?
No, I'm interested in marrying him. I just don't like that he's cheap.
Well, and he could call you names for not giving him sex. I mean, these are words that are painful.
Right. Okay.
So, did your mom and dad, was your dad generous with your mom?
No, he's cheap.
So you like men that act like your dad.
But that other boyfriend that I'm writing the hi bye letter to, he's very generous.
Well, men have to fall in love to want responsibility.
Oh, so do you think my ex-boyfriend was in love with me? Because he spent a lot of money on me.
Well, I think what you were saying to him is, I'm not going to give you my body unless you make an agreement with me called an engagement so that I can live with you and be your fiancé.
Okay.
Because living with a man, you end up being a free wife, a free girlfriend, a free sex partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I won't do that.
Okay.
I haven't done it.
All right. Then please negotiate. Don't be generous.
I asked him if I'd always have to work, and he doesn't really answer. He just says that that he would like help me to learn how to invest and save, and that's just a turnoff to me.
I understand. He says the same about you're not giving sex.
Okay.
So you're both right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Call again.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 323-203-0815 is the number to call to get into the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen. Get your questions answered. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes.
What
Dr. Allen, I was going to ask the guy who's been seeing me if he, based on another conversation we had, I was going to bring up that conversation again to ask if he wanted me as a girlfriend. And before I could have that conversation today, I was helping him with something on his phone, and a photo came up that looked like it was him in a sexual position with another woman. And I was shocked. And
why were you shocked?
Because he's been seeing me like almost every day for 2 months. And I don't know, it threw me off. I don't
know. So he has a commitment girlfriend or fiance or a wife?
I know he does not have a wife. I don't know
All right.
who the woman
no
is.
No wife. Is he no living wife. With the woman?
No, unless he took me to another place, no.
Okay, no. So you're wanting, we're having rental bills this session. Are you interested in building a marriage with him?
Yes.
Have you had intercourse with him?
No.
And he's asked for it?
Yes.
Are you interested in getting engaged to him?
Yes.
So tonight, are you going to ask him?
If I see him tonight, I don't know if he's coming over tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. Well, when the next time you see him, what are you going to say to him?
I have a question about the photo. You have
you know my tools.
Yes.
Good.
I'm in your Tuesday group.
Good. Excellent. So you're going to make an appointment with him to speak about something you're going to ask him.
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead.
I have a question about the photo. You have every right to have pornography and images. That's where I get stuck, because I get too emotional.
Are you saying you have every right to say no?
No, you have every right to have pornography, but was that you and another woman? Do you want me, or do you want
her, or do you want her. Both of us?
Okay.
You're going to ask him if he's wants you, her, or both.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yes.
Do you want to share him with somebody?
No. No.
Then why are you offering it?
Okay.
No, I'm saying, for what reason? Do you need the rent money? What?
No. There's no financial anything. I mean, he brings me lunch. That's the only investment. And he does a lot of stuff for me, like things that are too heavy around the house.
So he gives you things.
Yeah. He gives me things.
And he gives
and
you
time.
Money?
No.
No, he doesn't give you money. All right.
He's offered, but no.
So what are you asking for?
Well, he hasn't asked me to be his girlfriend. And so that's...
Because you have not given him intercourse.
No, I have not given him intercourse. He asked for a blowjob. I don't quite feel comfortable with a blowjob, because there just hasn't been...
Wait a minute. Blowjobs are intercourse.
Right.
Okay. So you don't give those either?
No.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
Yes.
Okay. So you want a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship?
Yes.
And tonight you're going to ask him if he wants monogamy or polygamy. And is he aiming towards marriage, or do you want to get married?
Yes, married.
Okay. So practice saying what you're going to say with my tools now.
But do I leave out the question about that photo and just go to the long-term
about the
question?
Photo? What are you leaving out?
Do I address the bring up the question about the photo with the other woman, or do I just go to the long-term questions about me?
Well, are the photos, has he got photos of you or not?
There was one time, he's taken like general photos, like we're out in public. And there was one time when I was topless and I think he had a photo behind me, but I couldn't see. When I asked what was that, he put it away.
Oh, okay. So he took a picture of you that you didn't like him having.
Well, I didn't even know. He didn't ask or anything.
No, he had a picture that you didn't like him having, and he threw it away.
Yeah.
That was very cherishing.
Yeah.
So did you like him because of that? He was good to you?
Oh, he's been great to me over the last 2 months.
He's been good to you for 2 days?
2 months.
He what?
2 months. We've met each other in June.
So you have basically been dating him monogamously, but now he's got another woman?
Well, that's what I don't know.
What makes you think he's got another woman?
Well, that photo, he's standing up having sex.
Oh, I see. The photo was he with another woman.
Yes.
And you know that that was a girlfriend?
I don't know who that is. And so it was
he threw the picture away, so it doesn't sound like it was a girlfriend.
No, the photo is on his phone.
He wiped it out.
No, it was on his phone today.
Oh, he didn't wipe it out.
Correct.
So you're going to bring up the photo on the phone and you're going to say what?
Do you want me or do you want the other woman?
Or both of us.
Okay.
Do you want to ask him if he wants both of you?
Well, if he says, I want both of you, then I just would say, you know, I appreciate that you want both of us, but
so
I don't
know. You know that you would say no if he was narcissistic and he wanted both of you.
Correct.
So you're only finding out if he's monogamous, continuous, and aiming towards marriage.
Yes.
Might as well find out all of those.
Okay.
All right.
So then I just asked the second question after that about...
go ahead.
Are you interested in a monogamous relationship that grows into a marriage within a year?
Wait.
Is that a good
say that again.
Are you interested in a monogamous relationship that grows into a marriage within a year?
That's beautiful. If he says he wants you.
Well, should I finish it with me?
What?
Should I say, do you want a monogamous relationship with me?
No, the first one. Let's start at the top.
Okay.
I have a question to ask of you about us. Is it convenient for you to hear me?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, say it.
I have a question about us. Is it convenient for you to hear me?
If he says yes, then you can say, is it convenient now or when?
Okay.
If he says yes, do you think he'll say yes to the question?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Then you'll say, I noticed you with a woman on your phone. Is she another girlfriend like me?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so are you going to ask him if he's monogamous, continuous, and aiming towards marriage?
Yes. So would I ask
with
that
somebody
next? Yes.
What?
So I would ask that question next. And then how do I find out if he's interested in me being a girlfriend?
That he's what?
How do I find out if he wants me to be his girlfriend?
When he tells you that she and you are girlfriends of his, or he says, no, you're my girlfriend, she isn't, he'll tell you. And if he okay. doesn't tell you, ask him.
Okay.
So finish the question.
I noticed you with another woman on your phone. Is she another girlfriend like me? And then the next question is, are you monogamous and interested in a relationship that can grow into a marriage within a year?
How do you feel about that question?
I feel good. The missing part for me is, I just want to find out what he wants from me. Does he want to do that relationship with me?
That is what you just practiced.
Okay.
So good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye, caller. Thank you. Hey, everyone. 323-203-0815 is the number to call to dive into the hot seat. And it looks like I have somebody hitting me on Facebook about you, Dr. Allen. And here is
What's
the question.
That? What is it?
Okay. The question is, hold up. Let me see. Reading from the top. My ex from 2015 just came back and he keeps asking for sex. This has been happening for several months, even though I keep telling him
Hello.
I need to have a commitment. Oh, we've got a caller on, Dr. Pat. Come back to this. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello. Yes, it's been a while, Dr. Pat, since we spoke. I'm calling from Australia. I'm a very eager student of yours for the last 3 years.
Wow. Yes, I know.
Yes. You remember.
So what can I do for you?
I want to report to you, if I may. Last time I spoke to you was about August last year, and I was doing pretty well with a man who was dating me for about 5 months. I asked him for a promise ring, and he wasn't comfortable with that. It was too much of a commitment. He thought it was an engagement ring. He said he was Catholic and that was too much of a big deal for him. And I just watched him and listened to him, and he started picking on me.
Did he want intercourse?
Yes, we were in a relationship that was heading for long-term monogamy.
You had an agreement?
Well, yes.
To monogamy, continuity, and longevity someday.
That's right. So, yes, we were having a sexual relationship. But we broke up, and that's great because I could tell that he actually wasn't the sort of man that was honouring his word and he wasn't serious about. Yep.
I got it.
So I wanted to fill you in on, okay, what I did was I kept listening to your show, as I do every week, and reflecting on what I did well and what I needed to focus on. And in one of your shows, you mentioned a book called, the book is You Were Not Born to Suffer by Blake D. Bauer.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that book.
And I have to tell you that I got the book and listened to it all. I love Audible. I listened to it. I cried. It was amazing.
Did you answer the questions?
Now I'm re-listening to the book with a pad and pen and chapter by chapter, taking myself through what feels like a kind of self-love therapy. And through it, I have connected with loving myself.
That is a very good book.
And it's been the most incredible.
About
it is.
Questions of how to love yourself.
That's right. So I wanted to say thank you for that. That felt like, I mean, I've been EMDR, Getting to I Do, Wounded Woman, The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, It Takes the Pain, It's a Man's World. I'm doing it all. And You Were Not Born to Suffer, it has been like the icing on the cake for me. So I just want to recommend anybody. I realised if I don't love myself, I can't be in a loving relationship. And I know that I have never been in love. So
yes,
I wanted
to
now give you an update.
How to do it.
I am, and it's fabulous. And I flirted with a man online who spoke first, and we have been in a relationship for 3 months. So we had the conversation about continuity.
Period.
That's right. He's perfect. I am perfect. Monogamy, continuity, and heading for long term. He's 62. I'm 56. And we're having a fabulous time. And I'm finding it so different now that I have a different feeling about myself and love for myself. And last week when we were together, I experienced jealousy for the very first time.
Good. Have you read David Buss's book, Dangerous Passions?
Yes, I have.
And
I
do
have.
You realize so, that jealousy
yep.
is an indicator of your chemistry attachment to him?
Yep. Yes. So because I'm patient and vulnerable and passive, I decided to tell him that I experienced jealousy for the first time.
Oh.
So I made an appointment. Yep.
That's good. That's good. Use the tools.
It was. And I said, I'm not sure what you think about this, but I want to share with you a feeling. Is now a good time? Blah, blah, blah. I think it's a positive feeling because I understand what it is. But, you know, is now a good time? And he said, yes. I said, I heard you having a conversation with that woman outside and I had a wave of jealousy. And he looked at me and smiled. He goes, that's really good. I said, I'm glad you think it's good. So we had a bit of a laugh about it.
I love what you're saying.
The other thing is I wanted to say to you that because I'm making appointments, because I'm not being a bossy, controlling woman, because I'm respecting him, because I'm allowing him to cherish my feelings and call me more than I call him, and I'm being
That's good.
It is. So I'm feeling really cherished. He said to me, you make me feel so masculine and so strong. And I really love the way you make me feel.
Wait a minute. He stroked
he
you
said
by
to
saying
me,
you helped him feel like a man.
Yeah, the way you talk to me, the way
you know
we are together, I feel so masculine.
I want you to understand that I believe in transactional analysis.
Mm-hmm.
That words are the bridge to each other. And when you use words, there's only three ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear and seduce with guilt and shame, and negotiate with love. Are you wanting to be respected or cherished first?
I want to be cherished first, and I am. I'm doing everything with somebody who's an honourable gentleman, and he's giving me that feeling. He's treating me that way, and it's amazing.
I love it.
And I feel like I'm falling in love, Dr. Pat, and I'm feeling really excited. And I just had to let you know that I get the feeling that this is what's happening for the first time. So that's really great.
And that book, You Were Not Born to Suffer.
To suffer, You were not born to suffer. That is a game changer. That really, I could not be in a loving relationship, no matter what strategy I applied, if I did not love myself in my heart. And I know that I do now. I know that I can feel love. And it's like all these bits of the puzzle have come together.
So, have you read to say my thank book, you. A Man's World, A Woman's Universe?
I read that 2 years ago. I read it as soon as it was out. Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway,
yep.
I-ness, we-ness, us-ness has all yep. the tools. And if you want to, you can go and watch Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication.
On your website, I've done that.
Good. Then you are really
hey, Dr.
getting
Pat,
the best. What?
I am. I've got a question. So because I was raised as a boy and because I've worked on connecting with my femininity and wanting to be cherished and changing the way that I behave and treat men in order to be treated the way I
yes.
want to be treated.
Yes.
I'm with my new boyfriend. I know based on what he's told me that he has been very much controlled and mothered by his ex-partner, the mother of his children. So I'm very conscious of his experience, and that helps me reinforce the fact that I really don't want to be like that with him, and I don't want to be with anyone that wants that kind of behaviour from me. I'm not asking him too much about, like, I'm not going to ask him for a promise ring. I decided I don't want a promise ring because I've got a promise ring the last two boyfriends.
Darling, yep. Do you have a verbal commitment to monogamy?
Yep. Yes.
Does your gut tell you he's telling the truth?
Yes.
Then that's, I accept that.
Good. Look, I was following your work to a T because of my childhood abuse, yada, yada. I felt like I had no framework, no boundaries, and no guidance to help me to find love.
But it sounds like you believe that I require promise rings?
Well, yes, yes, I do. I've heard you say
no,
to some women,
no,
you get engaged.
Yeah. I believe okay. Engagement rings are yep. different than promise rings. Promise yep. rings are really for monogamy verbally with a symbol in a yep. ring. But I do not approve of women living with men, living with them, unless
yes.
they're at least engaged, not a promise ring.
Yeah. I was a little bit struggling because I'd heard you speak to women that were similar in background to me in that because I experienced sexual abuse, I had issues with connecting with men quickly and kind of, you know, the taste for pain and
I do
some
not
challenges
want
around
you
that.
To give him intercourse. Out of fear. I don't want that. That's
no,
not good for
yes,
you.
I haven't done
but,
it. I mean, we've had intercourse, but we've been making
I
love.
I have no problem if your neurotransmitters tell you he's
yep.
telling the truth for you
yep.
to take a verbal commitment until you have proof
okay.
that he's not monogamous,
yep.
which shows
yep.
up. So... I just want to make sure you know that I don't require promise rings. I require
okay.
engagement rings to live with.
Yep, that's right. So if,
okay.
I think we'll be living together in the next. Anyway, I'm loving not taking the lead. I'm loving seeing what he comes up with and the communication that we have about our feelings and our thoughts. And it's just every time he says something that's about us, I just... it reinforces the fact that he is honourable and he is taking care of my feelings and he does have good intentions.
I totally.
I just wanted to bring up with an update and a lovely story.
Have you ever thought of EMDR for your childhood abuse?
I've had EMDR. Yes, I have. I have. And I've also had a kind of trauma therapy. And both of those have
thinking of going desensitized to me.
No, I did something in Australia that's kind of similar to TMS, which was a kind of rewiring experience. It was
that
a theater of the mind.
That is
and,
TMS.
Yeah.
Transcranial electromagnetic stimulation.
That's right.
That's
and if I didn't do
super.
That, that's right. I had the super duper and the EMDR. And if I didn't do those, I also could not be in a relationship like this.
In what? In EMDR?
If I didn't do that trauma therapy and the EMDR, I would not be able to be in this relationship. I know that. It desensitized my hypervigilance and, yeah. Do you know one thing?
Well, then you might need TMS.
No, I don't. I've had it. I'm just saying, because I've had
okay.
that, now I am free to be in a relationship.
Then please
when
go
I had the
with
TMS,
a verbal, please go with the verbal yeah. commitment that you feel in your gut is true.
I will. Also,
right.
I had a script, and I want to encourage anybody to have their scripts read with you. That also was an incredibly valuable and powerful experience
and
to have
Claude
with you, Dr.
Steiner's Pat. Book. Scripts People Live is a wonderful book.
Yep. Thank you.
So you sound
you.
Like you've picked a lot of the cherries in my garden.
Oh, yes. Every single one of them, I tried to have a pick and I gave it a go.
good.
So thank
good.
You.
All righty.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Awesome. Okay. So let's go back to our question. Here's what she says. Okay. I have a question. My ex from 2015 keeps coming back asking for sex. This has been happening for several months. Even though I keep telling him I need to have a commitment to have sex, he keeps talking dirty to me. He keeps coming back every 8 weeks. How long will this go on?
It'll go on as long as you allow it. Men are very persevering.
Hello.
He's going after something he wants. And you are telling him, not unless I have a commitment. And that stops him because that means assuming responsibility.
Exactly.
Marriage,
hey,
marriage.
We have a caller on the line, and
okay.
I think it's Tony. Hey, caller, you're live on the air, or do you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, actually, you mentioned the Scripts People Live book, which I'm I'm reading that right now, and it's been very helpful.
Good.
I identify with the lovelessness script, actually. So.
Okay.
But I just wanted to, because
what are
you
doing?
Well, reading through it for actually, there's a story that he tells in that section about that's the warm fuzzy story, which is the, you know, he talks about the stroke economy.
Yes.
So I'm trying to, I'm doing the opposite
yes.
of what I learned, which is it's a scarce commodity for compliments and strokes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and,
got it. Good.
Yeah. So I'm doing my best to give and receive as well. And it helps. It's really been tremendous.
I appreciate that.
So what
can I do for you? Because you're doing it already.
I was calling because you have a, I remember I had a sheet once from you. I don't
yes.
know where it is, but it was a sheet that had the, it was the negotiations sheet, which
have you got a copy of my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes.
In that book, it says negotiating a deal. All of that page is in the book.
Okay. All right.
So
then I will get
time.
It from there.
Here, I'll give you the message right now. Have you got paper, pencil?
I'm writing right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Under time, I time, we time, us time.
Okay.
Money, my money, your money, our money. Space, do we live together, do we not? And sex, are we open? Do we invite people over? Are we in a monogamous? In other words, time, space, money, and play as I, we, and us is what you negotiate. But
right,
it's
and I wanted
up
to,
in the book.
Okay, great. Thank you. I wanted to go through that exercise.
Good.
I couldn't find my old sheet, so it's, thank you for that. I'll look that up.
Good.
And then one other thing I wanted to mention to you was that a few years ago, I decided that I grew up eating sugar as a kid.
Yes.
And I decided that I'm going to actually, I was in a place where I just couldn't not have it. I just finally decided to treat it as if I were, an addict, basically, admit to myself that I had no control over it and whatever. And about 3.5 years later, I did it, and about 3.5 years into, staying away from sugar. So, and with your help, I was able to do that. So I'm very grateful.
So are you sober? I am too. I used to be 205 pounds. I'm 117 pounds.
Right. Yeah, that's
you know the book
that's incredible.
Did it?
Which one?
The Craving Brain by Dr. Rudin.
Okay.
The Craving Brain.
Yeah, I got to a point where I was just, my teeth were hurting, and I was just feeling down, like it was just bringing me down all the time. So it took me 3 times. And what I do is I do lots of project work. So they'll bring in snacks and everything like that. It's very easy to go to the kitchen and have anything I want. So it's very, there's an environment like that. And I switched to the next job. And I said, after this moment, I'm going to just not do that. I'm going to distract myself. I'm going to, just not do the old habits. And I did it. Yeah, I did it. It's like breaking up with someone who's not good for you, but it's really a lot of fun.
It's what the addictive personality has to do.
Right. And ever since, I walk with everyone, everyone around me still eats it. And I just stay away, and I announce it. I don't hide it. I don't crusade either. I don't try to tell people what to do, but, it was very hard. It's for the first 6 months. It was it's all I can think about. And then once you get past the point, it just is so much easier. And
I know,
isn't
that wonderful?
It's the greatest.
There's another good one by Kay Shepherd, From the First Bite. That's how, see, the problem with addictive food and addictive booze is that it triggers you into wanting more, better, and different. So your addiction creates more addiction.
Right. Totally.
Yep.
And people will offer me but it's sugarless ice cream and do you want any? And I say, no, it's a slippery slope. And I just stay away. And what I've learned, especially from sugar, sugar's a really nasty drug because
it's the biggest drug now, and it's killing our kids right and left.
Well, when kids bounce off the wall, they eat a bunch of sugar or candy bars or Skittles or whatever, and they're bouncing off the walls. I see it as what if they did some cocaine? That would be not okay. It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
No one would approve that.
But sugar is so sold everywhere.
Well, I think at some point, companies that sell food realized that they knew it was addictive, but they figured if they could put it in the foods that they could sell more food. And they think that's what
that's
does.
Right.
And it's really hard.
I know.
Really, really hard to go out there and eat at restaurants. And I mean, it's not perfect because some things I eat, I realize later, oh, that bread has sugar in it. I mean, I do my best to find out ingredients but it's everywhere. And I think they realize that, you know, they just sell more food when they put sugar in it. Salt has sugar in it when you go to the store.
Yes, I know that. But sea salt doesn't.
Right. There's certain kinds, I guess. Right, exactly.
Eat for your blood type?
No.
Would you like me to reach over and get it and tell you what it is?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to take off my... Hello?
Yeah.
It's called Live Right for Your Type by Dr. Peter J.D. Adamo. Four blood types, four programs.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. No, thank you. And I realized... one of the other things I realized after, you know, being off that was, it's a very corrosive, substance, mind,
it,
body, and spirit.
It really works on the pleasure centers in your brain so that you feel good, except in the craving, you end up wanting to do it more. It's just goes around.
Right. Right. Yeah. After about a year, I was like, I felt that corrosiveness come away, go away.
That's it.
Yeah.
So there.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Very much. And
call again. Thank
you. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. Yeah. Okay. Well, I got some business to take care of here. I want to remind everybody that we have groups. They're amazing groups. We may have some space for August. I can't be 100% sure, but reach out and maybe we can squeeze you in. So info@drpatallen.com is the email address to reach out to get yourself into one of our groups. And they are amazing. You have them 5 days a week at various times. And you can get all that information from Sue Wagner. Also, I want to remind everybody, www.drpatallen.com is where you sign up for our newsletter. And if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can listen to Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication 100% free right now. I want to also remind you that the Want Institute is a 501c3 not-for-profit educational corporation. Your donation is 100% tax deductible. info@drpatallen is how you see if you donate. That keeps us on the air and keeps us operating so we can interact with you guys and reach out in the community, having wonderful guests like Robert Storr and Patricia Altinge, and getting your questions answered by Dr. Pat Allen. But if you really want questions answered, you'll reach out to info@drpatallen and get your life script appointment so Dr. Pat Allen can help you rewrite your life script. And to our ladies and gentlemen that are listening that are writing high by letters to get those critiqued, you can do that too. Dr. Pat Allen critiques the high by letters. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com. Now you know all the information except for, oh, wait a minute, wantistore.com. That's where you're going to find Dating Over 50, Conversational Rape, and all of Dr. Allen's other fantastic things that we have for sale, our merch. Okay, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go tonight?
I want to say my favorite, and it's called The Only Way You Know You Love Yourself or Anybody Else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amen. Everyone, we love you so much. We're so glad you come and be with us every Thursday live. And we're so pleased that LA Talk Radio plays us all over the place at different times. But remember, you can only be with us live on Thursday. Listen to our archives. Follow us on Facebook. Until next week, be safe because we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.